today, before we start, let's pray. You can see Pastor is not around. Pastor Keith is not around. They are all out of town to minister. Let's pray for them, and then let's pray and let's receive the word of God. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning that we can come here to receive your word. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to start the work even right now. I pray for your presence to saturate this whole place as we receive your word. It is not my word, it is not my experience, but your word that will transform life. Father, we also want to pray for Pastor Kevin and Pastor Keith that's ministering, one in Jakarta, one in JB. God, I pray for your presence to go ahead of them as they minister, as they speak. Let their word also comes from you, and it will bring forth transformation. So Jesus, we thank you for the rest of the service. We commit it unto your mighty hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say amen. All right, I want you to turn to your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 18. Now, I'm not going to show on the screen, so you need to turn on your own device to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 18. Everybody there? Yes? Okay. Just look at your Bible app, okay? Not your WhatsApp. It's your Bible app. And not your Insta as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 18. Now, I'm not going to read through it now, but we are going to go through it verses by verses along the way. If you know the context of this whole passage, it is about Paul's defense of his ministry. Now, why did he have to do that? Because if you look at chapter 9, we saw how God actually taught his children to be generous to one another. This is the verse, chapter 9 is the verse that we quoted the most during offering challenge. And that's the tone leading up to tell us that God is a generous giver. And it requires us to trust him in every bit of provision we receive, recognize that all comes from him and belongs to him. Then ask him to guide us as we use what he has provided to us. But chapter 10, at this point of the letter, chapter 10, there is a change of tone. Paul began to be very stern in his writing, if you notice that. Paul started the writing in a very stern way to rebuke the charges made against him. Now, we do not know who are they, except they are Jews. Everybody say Jews. Right? Their teaching may be like the Judaizer that infiltrated the Galatian churches. That means the Jewish Christian in a history, they insist that the Gentiles must be circumcised and follow the Mosaic law to be safe. That's what the background is. So we can infer from the text that these false teaching or false teachers attack those who have influence over the Corinthians, which is Paul and his companions, in order to gain prestige and power for themselves. Now, the question is this. When we are falsely accused, we have a choice. We can choose to get sidetracked by copying the bad behavior of the accuser, or to stay on the course by continuing to walk faithfully in dependence on God to avenge for us and tear down the walls for us. So today, I want you to hold on to this question when I keep preaching on, all right? The question to consider is this. Do you have a tendency to compare yourself to others to see how you measure up? Think about this. Second question. Do you look at the world standards to define your achievement? And how does that affect you? So the first question, do you have a tendency to compare yourself to others to see how you measure up? Or do you look at the world standards to define your achievements? And how does that affect you? Hold this question back in your mind and we'll come back here, all right? Now, let me give you some background of Corinne. Corinne is called wealthy because of its commerce. In addition to their wealth, Corinthians worship the Greek goddess of love, beauty, pleasure, and procreation. Therefore, they were smart, rich, elite people in Corinth. So with Paul going into giving the instruction on how to live their lives in God, they will be like, what qualification does Paul have? Yes, they know that Paul is the apostle of Christ, but what do you have to offer? To put it in our modern society today, it is like the people out there, or perhaps sometimes our members, look at us when we challenge them to live right with God, they will be like, who are you? What qualification you have that you come and teach me how to live right with God? That's why Paul need to defend his ministry. However, when you read of the chapter, you will realize that it is not because of the great works that he has done. If you read through that, it is really not boasting about himself, but it is pointing them back to God, realigning their perspective on things based on three problems that he picked up. Number one, the first problem is this: judging by outward appearances. I see whether you are sleeping or not. See, some of you are not laughing. Okay, judging by outward appearances. Paul diagnosed the problem with the Corinthian troublemakers. They are looking only at the outward appearances. And by the outward appearances, Paul was weak and unimpressive. If you happen to Google the way Paul looked like, you will realize that he's really weak and unimpressive. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, now is the time for you to look to your Bible and your phone. It says here, you are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. So this is a description of Paul from an early Christian writing, perhaps from about 200 years ago. They describe Paul as a man of small stature, with a bald head and crooked leg, but in a good state of body. Of course, this is a nicer picture already. Okay, just imagine this, okay? With eyebrows meeting each other. Okay, now you touch your eyebrow. Everybody, see whether your eyebrow is meeting each other or not. So you imagine that both eyebrows are meeting each other, and the nose are somewhat hooked. Think about it. Someone like this came into this hall and tell you to live right with God. What will be your first impression? Chair. Who is this man? Why Pastor Kevin invite this man come and preach the gospel? Legit one not? Can trust one not? It's the same like sometimes when people walk into the hall, I am guilty of myself as well. We will look at the person from top to bottom, bottom up to top, and then we will go to our friend and say, I don't think this person can make it. Cannot make it. Don't be friend with this person. We judge by outward appearances. But Paul is saying this. If you claim to belong to Jesus, look at yourself. If you claim to belong to Jesus, look at yourself. You may not be mighty in outward appearance, yet you belong to Jesus. So we are Christ as well. None of us want to be judged on mere outward appearance. How many of you like to be judged by mere outward appearance? Okay, don't put up your hand. Okay, we often want people to see our heart. Yet, the Corinthian Christian would not grant Paul what they wanted for themselves. Paul didn't say that it is wrong to test an apostle accreditation, but the Corinthians used the wrong test. They judged only by outward appearances. Judging based on outward appearances is not just being mentioned in 2 Corinthians. We also can read from 1 Samuel chapter 16, which is a story about Samuel about to anoint David. But before he went on to anoint David, this was what happened. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5 to verse 7. Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come to sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Verse 6, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eli and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stand here before the Lord." Verse 7, look carefully. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. My friends, are we living the standard of the world by judging outward appearances? The standard of God is the matter of the heart. The standard of God is the matter of the heart. Are we obedient enough to do what God has called us to do? Now, I'm not saying that from now on, you don't have to take care of your outward appearances anymore. That means you don't groom yourself anymore. You don't cut your hair anymore. You don't trim your nose hair anymore. You don't do all this because you say, because God only look at the heart. I'm not going that extreme. But while we are focusing on all these things, let's not forget what matters to God the most. It's the matter of the heart. Are we being obedient or are we too into our own outward appearances on how we carry ourselves that our hearts, the intention is not right sometimes? And we apply this standard to people as well. The moment we see their outward appearances, we think that, oh, this person definitely cannot groom, cannot be disciple, cannot make it. And then we put them into one side. And then we only groom those that we think that is good looking, that is nice, that is so on and so forth. Then we groom them. No, the Lord looks at the heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord looks at the heart. The second problem is this. Boasting about their own achievements. Boasting about their own achievements. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 8, in the Message version, you stare and stare at the obvious, but you can't see the forest for the trees. If you are looking for a clear example of someone on Christ's side, why do you so quickly cut me out? Believe me, I'm quite sure of my standing with Christ. You may think I overstate the authority he gave me, but I'm not backing off. Every bit of my commitment is for the purpose of building you up. After all, not tearing you down. If you look at those verses, it seems that Paul is uncomfortable writing about his own authority. This is because he is a humble, godly man. He used the word boast here is quite exaggerating, almost in a very sarcastic sense to show how he would prefer not to talk about his own authority. He feels like boasting to him. Paul realized how much better it would be if the Corinthian Christians or church would just recognize his authority so that he wouldn't have to boast somewhat more about it. Why? Because Paul recognized that Jesus granted the authority in the church for one reason. He did to build the body of believers up, which is edification, not to tear down, which is destruction. So I want to say this. This is true of every level of authority. God has granted in the church, in the home, in the workplace, in the government, a certain level of authority. And God established these levels of authority so that it's to build us up, it's not to destroy us. Now I want to ask you this question. Are we building a life are we living a life to build someone up or are we destroying someone? The things that we say, are we boasting more about ourselves or are we boasting about God? You know, sometimes when especially for students, if you pray that you want to pass your exam, Okay, you say, I want to pass my exam. I want to get distinction. And you really worked very hard and you gotten it. And God granted that prayer. God answered that prayer. The first person you boast is who? Me. You. Right? You say, wow, I worked so hard. I got it. I got this. Or those who are working, if you pray so hard for a sales, for a deal, and you gotten it, the first thing you say is not all glory to God. It's all glory to me. I worked so hard. I got it myself. You boast about it. Or how many of you, you have a group of friends, you'll go out yamta, you will always hear this friend always like to boast about his achievement. Before you get to say, he already tell you, hey, you know, this year, I already achieved this. I do this sales a day. I close this sales a day. You try to interject. Actually, I ask, oh, no, lah, you don't understand. I also do it already. Sometimes you feel like, okay, like, don't talk to this kind of friend. That was what happened in the Corinthians church. And the third problem is this. I'm going somewhere, okay? I show you the problem first, then I show how Paul how Paul rebuilt them. The third problem is wrong and right measures of ministry. Wrong and right measure of ministry. Then we see how the Corinthians people measure their spheres of influence in terms of ministry or work in verse 12 to verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to verse 13. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, it's not error, okay? It's really from the Bible. Okay, you're like, huh, themselves and themselves. Okay, I'm going somewhere. They are not wise. Verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. Now, in their worldly way of thinking, they simply measure themselves by themselves. Everybody say themselves by themselves. And only compare themselves among themselves. What does this mean? It means two things. First, it means making yourself the measure of others. This is the first thing. Second, it means making others the measure of yourself. To put it in a simple way, they are commending themselves to the Corinthians based on secular standard that included dramatic speaking ability and skillful self-promotion. This was wrong for at least two reasons. First, there did not seem to be a lot of really spiritual people among the Corinthian Christians to give a good comparison. How much of a compliment would it have been to be the most spiritual person among the Corinth? Secondly, it was wrong because it only measured on human skill, focused on outward appearance. My friends, when we let the Holy Spirit measure us through the Word of God, He measures us on God's skill and He looks at the heart. And today, I want you to listen to this. Stop measuring yourself by yourself and stop comparing yourself among yourself. We should not make ourselves the measure of others, feeling that we are superior to them. If by outward appearance, we are more successful. On the other side, we should not make others our measure, feeling we are a failure if by outward appearance, they are more successful. Because Paul said that it is not wise to do that. Because Paul knows that the standard is Jesus. He based it on Jesus. If we only seek the standard of the world, we will always want to craft up a path that is so well done, so well traveled, to be evidence that we do the best. But you know what? You will never be able to be fulfilled. Because you will always try to keep wanting to top yourself up and keep wanting to do that. And to a point, you will only focus on building yourself rather than building a life that God wants you to live. And I want to say this, my friends, only Christ approval will provide the peace that we are seeking in his life. The world standard will tell us that we need to keep achieving certain benchmark to be happy. One after another, one after another, one after another. The question is, when is it enough? When is it enough? That's why comparison is so dangerous. We chase after someone else's benchmark. And all while missing our own. While we are chasing on someone else's benchmark, we might miss our own. Therefore, what's the standard of God for us? The standard of God for us would be living a life of integrity. Are we who we are inside out? Or are we just trying to put up a strong front, but inside, inwardly, we are crumbling down? Are we living a life of integrity? Being committed to and honoring what God has said to you, or what you have said to God? Have you been making promises to God that you want to do well, you want to serve Him, you want to let go of your bad habits, for your addiction? You have been praying about that. Are we truly committed and honor of what you have said to God? Number three, building your life based on the fruit of the Spirit. Are we building our life based on the Scripture? Do we have love? Do we have joy? Do we have the peace? Do we have self-control? Do we have all this? The list that I mentioned above is non-exhaustive. Living according to God's standard, which you can find from His Word, from His active Word. The more you spend time with Him, the more you will anchor yourself in Him. And you will find out what is the purpose that He has for you. All other standards will become foolish when we are rooted in Christ. Whether you are working full-time outside, whether you are students, whether you are a stay-home mom, whether you are a salesperson, we are to compare our lives with the standard of God, not people out there. Lastly, two things I will end. Two things Paul has shown us in this passage that we should stay on to live a life based on God's standard. Number one, the right way to measure ministry. The right way to measure ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 to verse 15. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand. Paul's authority in the church was not unlimited. God had granted him a sphere of authority. That means he knew where he should include the sphere. The sphere included the Corinthian Christians, especially, why? Because he was the one founded the church. Now, the thing is this. The idea of the limits of the sphere comes from the lane that were allotted for runners in the race. The Corinthians would recognize this because they love race. They love running. What Paul is saying here is this, that I am running in my own lane and not in someone else's. I am running in my own lane, not in someone else's. So my friends, are you running in your own lane of what God has put in your heart? Or are you still eyeing on your neighbor's lane and questioning God? This is not fair. Why his or her lanes look so much easier to run than mine. Last week, Pastor Keith said that Instagram is the killer of all when we compare. And when he talked about that, I really got hit because I kind of get my sermon done already. Then this question come to me because I like to scroll Insta every night before I sleep. Don't think that I read Bible every night. Okay, I scroll Insta before I go to bed. So I scroll and scroll and scroll. And then sometimes I will compare. I will compare and I will turn to my husband, Raymond, and say, you see people's husband go snowing place. Eh? We all haven't even gone to our honeymoon for 12 years after we married. You know, I compare and compare and compare. And then lo and behold, Pastor Keith preached about that. So I tell myself, okay, I'm not going to see anymore. I don't want to compare anymore. Then, the whole week, I just got hit again and again and again. Because instead of delete it or lock out, I didn't. I said, oh, I got strong self-control. I'm living a life with strong self-control. It's okay, one. I keep seeing. I won't. So the whole week, I see a lot more news that hit me. I see a lot. As I sent to Sarah because I said, help me. I don't know how to preach this anymore. It's so hard. Some of the thing is like, it hit me and I keep questioning, God, why is this people like that? Why is that person like that? Why is it like that? And then God asked me, are you ready to preach that sermon? Are you running your own lane? Are you starting to compare? Are you starting to say that I'm not working in your life? Are you starting to say that I'm not working in this church? Are you starting to say that I don't like this church anymore? Are you starting to doubt the work that I started? I even went on to text Pastor Keith. I said, it's so hard. It's so hard. I felt like telling Kason, why not you take on and I just stay home? I just felt, wow. And God said, run your own lane. Don't look left, don't look right. Look towards me. And just now, at that time when worship, again, the whole morning, I just don't feel good. I want to be honest to you all. I just felt like, God, enough lah. Ask other people to do lah. I don't want to run this lane anymore. Other people's lane like nicer. I'm going to go and try. God said, no. Run your own lane. Have you been eyeing on your neighbor's lane? Have you been saying that, God, why is his life so much better than mine? I want to tell you this. You never know what that person is going through. So today, perhaps it is time to reflect upon ourselves rather than keep pointing fingers. Rather than keep saying that, why is it me again? Because all godly authority has a sphere. It is important for the person in authority to not exercise that authority outside the sphere. I cannot go out there to just command and just say, do this, do that, do this, do that. No, I need to recognize the sphere of my authority. And it is important for the person, all of us here, we are under someone's authority to recognize the sphere of authority that you are under. If you decide to come under collective, to come under the sphere of the authority of our senior pastor, let's learn to manage our spheres properly because there is power in that place. And as our faith continue to grow and mature, our sphere of influence in whatever that we are doing will expand. However, in verse 16, something really interesting that caught my attention. I'm coming to an end, okay? Stay with me. Verse 16 says, so that we can preach the gospel in the region beyond you, for we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. Why is Paul stressing the point that he has not and will not take authority in another man's sphere? Because probably this is exactly what the Corinthian Christian thinking. They try to boast in Paul's achievement. And by now you should know that Paul's passion was to preach the gospel in the region beyond. He was truly not interested in building another man's foundation. He did not want to budge into someone else's authority or to do something about that. All he wants in his mind is just to preach the gospel beyond regions. Are we living our life in such a way? Or are we sitting around being so calculative over small little things in the church that we have lost that very mission in our life? That is to go out there and preach the gospel and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Lastly, the second thing that Paul say is this, or the Bible say is this, the importance of the Lord's approval. The importance of the Lord's approval. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 to verse 18. But let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. You know, every time when I read this verse, a lot of people will say this, so is it that from now on, we cannot take feedback anymore? Don't tell me that I preach not well later, okay? Because I just need the approval of God, not man. Remember, okay? Kason, Albert, remember, don't come to me. Only can say well done because the approval comes from the Lord. Or the worship team, don't say the worship team didn't do well, but the worship team did well today, right? Let's give them a big hand, all right? But every time when we read of this verse, right, we say, hey, I only need approval of God, not man. I don't need your feedback. Thank you. Don't feedback. Everything is good. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not going that extreme. But what I'm saying is this, that your worth does not come from what men say. Your worth does not come from what you do. You are not measured by this. You are measured by the obedience of your heart. You are measured by when God says, go, you go. When God says, serve, you serve. When God says, stay and pray, you stay and pray. You don't complain. That's the approval from the Lord. The world standard will tell you, do more, do more. Your worth will only grow if you do more. Your worth will only come when you have promotion after promotion after promotion. But the word of the Lord say, your worth comes from having a heart of obedience. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's not how many miracles you can do like Jesus. It's, are you willing to say, God, yes, I will follow you. I will take up that cross. No matter how hard my life is, I will take up that cross. You know what? If by outward appearance, I lost big time. I always think that I'm not beautiful. If it's based on the world standard, that's it. I always think that I have a lot of friends. It's because I have a lot of beautiful friends, that the friends want to make friends with my beautiful friend. That's why they are my best friend. I always think like that. I always think that I'm the second best since young. And I hold on to this verse very, very strongly because I know I came a long way from who am I, who was I in the very past to today. It's not because I don't care about feedback anymore, but I'm secure that if I don't do well this round, I just need to improve myself and do well. Because I know the approval is from God. If by qualification, I also lost big time, my English cannot make it on. Compared to Kason, Sarah, a lot more of you, maybe your English, the command of English is so much better. I will be the least to think of. The thing is this. If you are like me, you are thinking that you don't have any qualification. You think that you are not good enough to serve. All you need to do is don't give up. Keep serving. Because the Lord sees it. And the day will come when the day the Lord will reward you. Openly or secretly, the breakthrough will come. You will know it. We don't need the approval of men because they will fail you. Today, someone might come to you and say, well done. Maybe next week you expect that same person to come and pat your shoulder. The same person walk past you, seems like don't know you. You're like, hey, last week just say, well done. Why this week? Like, don't know me. You will be disappointed. Don't hard up on the approval of men. Look to God. And I want to tell you this. Why? Because, like I say, if it is my outward appearance, I will be fail big time. Qualification, I fail big time. A lot of times, I ask God. I say, God, no one would like to hear from me. Who am I? What qualification do I have? But God kept encouraging me and said, keep going. Keep doing. It's not about man. It's about me. Do you want to glorify me? Do you want to make my name known? Imagine this, if today God is standing in front of you, Jesus is standing in front of you, what would Jesus say to you? Perhaps the Lord will say to you, stop striving. Stop striving. You are good enough for me. You are good enough for me. Men will say that you are not good enough. But I am saying this to you. The Lord will say to you, you are good enough in my eyes. Stop striving. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to come before God. Let's humbly come before God. Maybe you are like me. You say, God, what qualification do I have? I'm never good enough. I'm always the second best. Nobody sees me. And will my voice even being heard by someone? And because of that, you choose to take the back seat. You choose not to serve anymore. You choose to just sit there and say, no, I'm not going to do anything anymore because I'm truly not good enough. But today I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to take that step of faith. That you don't build your life upon what others say about you, but you build your life upon the Word of God. You build your life upon the love and the assurance that comes from God, that He is the one that fearfully and wonderfully made you. He put thoughts when He created you. And stop striving to look for the approval of men. But look to God. I want to pray for some of you. If you are the one that I'm saying, what I described just now, I'm not here to humiliate you, but the leaders are all here to just pray for you, to assure you that God loves you. You are more than enough in God. As we worship, as we sing the strong song from the very beginning, I want you to take a step of faith and come out here and say, I want to be prayed for. I want to be touched once again by God. There's no power in our prayer, but if you make that step of faith that you come out and say, God, I'm willing, you know what? That's where God will work. Sometimes we think that it is must be the laying of hands or things like that. No. All you need to do is just that obedience, the very steps of obedience to say, God, yes, I want it. I want to get the assurance from you. I want to be touched by you once again. So the altar is open. You just come in front and we will pray for you as we worship.